pleased to have this good number with us this evening. We are thankful for your presence, and we hope that it is your intent as we have gathered here. Our intent is to please God in the things that we do. As we sing songs of praise unto his name, that he will accept that, and that as we study, of course, his word, as we pray to him, that these things will be acceptable in his sight. If we have any visitors, we are certainly glad for your presence this evening. And as an invitation always stands, we hope that you have other opportunities to come back and to be with us. We have some of our own number who are out of town. This being the Thanksgiving week also, we are going to have some people who are going to be out of town next week. And for those who will be traveling, we wish you Godspeed in that. We hope that you have a safe journey there and a safe return also. Just by way, this may be a little unusual, but just by way of showing hands, who's not going to be here next week? So I can, if I can, I can include these in. Y'all are going to be gone again? Okay, the visitors will be out again. The Hepners will be gone. But there'll be others of us who will also be gone. We are hoping to get to go to Tennessee and then go on to Georgia to see Josh. He is to be in Atlanta for the Thanksgiving holidays, and we're hoping to see him. For the time we have together this evening, I'd like for us to talk about just the simple subject of friends. This morning we talked about liars, and tonight we're going to talk about friends. We don't want to confuse the two. One of the many blessings that God has given unto us to enjoy is the possession of friends, and I believe this is one of the most precious possessions that God allows us to have. We could sit down and we could think of all the wonderful things that he has given unto us. And we sing the song, Count Your Many Blessings. And truly, there are many blessings that we have, and if we begin to sit down and enumerate them all, we'd probably be here a long time. But I think all of us would admit that at the very top are those individuals that we consider our friends, those who are close to us. God has created us as social beings. He has created us with this desire to interact with others. When he created man in the very beginning and put him in the garden, one of the things that he saw was that it was not good for man to be alone. And so he created woman. And in this creation, we find children are brought into the world. This was the plan of God. That in the church, this institution that was built by Christ, that we interact one with another, that we have friends of like precious faith. And I am convinced that they are among the most precious possessions that we have. We all want to have friends. We all would like to be a very close friend to other people. Someone has made the statement, as people are in our society looking for a church to worship with, they're looking for a friendly church, and I believe we are a friendly church here. But someone has said that people are not so much looking for a friendly church as much as they are looking for friends to have. And I believe that is true, that we need to have those who are very close associates with us. The Bible has much to say about the companions that we choose. Certainly for the mate that we have for life, but also about the associations that we have and the friendships that we make. And in all aspects of our life, I believe that we as Christians want to do what God says. We'd like to be all that we possibly can be in his sight, to be acceptable unto him. We want to do that in a church relationship with one another. We want to use the abilities and the talents that God has given unto us, the opportunities that are ours, to the fullest, in the family relationship also, in the community, as a husband, as a wife, as a parent, as a child. But I believe this is also true in being a friend. Let us, in our examination this evening, what the Word of God has to say, examine our own lives, see if we can't try to improve just a little bit in this respect, because I believe we could probably all improve in just about every area in our life. There are advantages, the Word of God says, to having friends. If you have your Bibles and want to read along, the book of Proverbs is going to be the one that we're going to examine this evening. There'll be a lot of things that we'll read out of that, because the Proverbists, in their wisdom, Solomon and others, have a lot to say concerning friends. In the 17th chapter, in verse 17, the Proverbist makes this statement: a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Simply what he is trying to say here, I believe, is that there are friends that we have that are close to us, and they love at all times, regardless of how difficult the situation might be for us or for them. And there is a brother who is born of adversity. And I don't necessarily believe that he is talking about here that there is physical kin that is born for adversity. But there are those who are friends that we count as close as brothers. And they are born to us in times of adversity. It is those times of difficulty that they become very close to us, that they stick with us. And that's an individual who truly is a friend unto us. True friendship loves also in spite of the faults that we might have, in spite of the flaws that there might be in our life. And I'm sure that we'll all admit that there are times that we have faults, that we are not perfect individuals, that there are little idiosyncrasies in our lives that perhaps others might get on their nerves. And we can see that in others. There are little things that they do that perhaps kind of get on our nerves from time to time. And we're not perfect. We have faults. We have flaws. But those that are true friends are those who will stick with us in those times. And they will overlook these particular things, especially if they're not sin, if these things are really something within our character, they'll overlook those things. They won't overlook them if they're truly our friends. If those things in our life are sin, they will help to try to improve us in that area. Even the best of us, though, have flaws. And a friend doesn't demand perfection of us, because he doesn't demand perfection of himself. And we're all going to do those things that are wrong. A friend also is someone who knows that we're not always at our Sunday best, that we're not always going to be a pleasant person. And it is true that we're not always pleasant all the time. Each and every one of us has our good days, we have our bad days. But a friend is one who will stick with us during any time that comes in our life. He will also be an individual who will not tell our faults to others and amplify our flaws to other individuals. Truly, a friend loves at all times, the Proverbist says. He will love us in those times that are difficult as well as in those times that are easy. In Proverbs, the 18th chapter, verse 24, Proverbs makes this statement: but a man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And then over in the 27th chapter and verse 10, we find the Proverbist saying this: do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend, nor go into your brother's house in the day of your calamity. For better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. In examining here what he says in 18 and 24, a man who must have friends must himself be friendly. And that's true. We like that individual that is open, that is friendly, that smiles. We don't like to associate too much with an individual who seems to be complaining all the time. I've made an acquaintance with a young lady over here at high school, and it just seems like that everything that comes out of her mouth is a complaint. Nobody likes to be around her. She complains about everything that is done. And we don't like to be around an individual too much who is like that. But one who is open and one who is friendly, that's a person that we would like to be friends with. He says also, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And sometimes we think to ourselves that there's really nobody that is closer than relatives. But if you have had the experience that I have had, in living away from relatives and from family for a long period of time, you will discover that friends can be closer than family. I have had that opportunity. for most of my grown-up life to live away from our relatives in Georgia. Many of you are the same way. But you've been away from friends and relatives. You've grown up. You've grown away from that. And in the experience that we have, one of the things that we do discover is that a true friend many times is going to be closer than one who is a brother, one who is a relative to us. And it's not uncommon for this to happen. We see that in many instances, our relatives will demand more of us than a friend will. They will have maybe greater expectations of us than a friend will have. And when we don't live up to those expectations, when we don't live up to those demands that they have, oftentimes those who are our blood kin will begin to criticize us. Now, it's not that they don't love us, and it's not that they don't want the best for us, but we've disappointed them in some way. Whereas someone who is not a blood relative, but who is a very, very close friend, won't begin to do that. They won't begin to criticize and demand of us. And it seems with some of our relatives that there is a failing on our part in their eyes. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And then as we read in 27 and 10, he talks about not forsaking your own friends or your father's friends, or go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. And truly, if we have a neighbor or a friend that is close by, and times of trouble come upon us, that individual can comfort us much better than the relative who is far away. There are times when I have been growing up that I wish that I could be with my relatives during times of trouble, but I couldn't because I was separated from them. But I took comfort in a friend, in someone who cared for me, in that neighbor that was looking out for my interest. And truly, this is the way that a friend ought to be. In the 27th chapter again, and in verse 9, ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend does so by hearty counsel. I don't know that there's any of us who is immune to depression or to discouragement. Things happen to us in our life that cause us, we would say, to simply get down. We just get very depressed in the things that happen. And a friend is someone who will be ointment. They will be medicine to us in those times of trouble. And there are always going to be times that are going to arrive that we will have discouragement, we will have depression. And a friend is someone that will help us through that time. And if we are a friend, then we will help our friends also through those difficult situations. Solomon had a lot to say about an individual who was a friend in the 4th chapter, in verses 9 through 12. He talks about the value of someone who is a friend. Two are better than one, he says, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if one fall, one will lift up the companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. He's showing the importance and the value of an individual who would help us during difficult times, during that labor that we have to go through. And truly, labor that is shared is labor that is cut in half. And to be warm with others, and not just physically, but the strength that we can have one from another. It's awful hard to stand by yourself in times of trouble, in times of difficulty. But with a friend that you have, then those difficulties are made lighter. Proverbs 27, once again, in verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And truly, this is the case, that it is most of the time. There are times that we need to be I guess we might say, as my mother would say, to be put in our place. We have friends oftentimes who love us who will do that. We have times of friends that will see us through times of difficulty. There may be an occasion in our life when we become just a little bit too haughty, a little bit too proud of what maybe we've accomplished. And a friend will kind of put us in our place. They will let us know that we are getting that way. They'll be maybe proud of the accomplishments that we have made, but they will not allow us to get too big of a head, that we will, you know, become so haughty that others can't talk to us. They will help us also to forget the troubles that we have. And they can bring just a great amount of joy in our life. And I believe this is what the proverb is saying here in this particular proverb. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friends. There are certain things that a friend, as has been pointed out, that a friend will do for us. Proverbs 27, again, 27th chapter has a lot to say about it. In 5 and 6, open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Friends are those individuals that have our best interest at heart. And we as a friend have the other, our friends and neighbors, their best interest at heart. We want to do whatever is best for them. And therefore, they and we are they're going to encourage us, we're going to encourage them to bring out the best in them, for us to be the best that we possibly can be. And if there is any wrongdoing in our life or in their life, if they're our friends, if we are truly their friends, then we're going to do something to correct that. Again, that's what a friend will do. A friend will not let another individual go along in sin without saying something. This is how Christ showed himself to be a friend to the world. This is how Paul showed himself to be friends to others. The church at Corinth and the sin that they were committing. He was their true friend in that he pointed these things out. And that's what an individual who is a friend will do. That we will have their best interest at heart. Their spiritual interest, of course, their spiritual well-being, and we will want to see the best for them. They'll correct us. You know, it'd be like a child we see eating something that is going to be harmful for them. Perhaps some poison that they're going to take into their body. We will do whatever we have to do to stop that individual, that child, from taking that poison. And if we have to say something that's going to startle them and cause them to cry, if that stops them from taking that poison, we'll do that, if that is necessary. We will do that in order to preserve their physical life. Well, a friend is going to say something to us spiritually to preserve our souls. They will not look at us and say, well, I just simply love you too much to say anything. You're too great a friend for me to offend. And so I won't say anything about this sin that you are committing. Spiritually, a friend will look out for us. And they'll have our best interest at heart. Job also says something about the friends that came to him. And I don't know if we can put those individuals in the classifications of being friends, but they came to comfort him. He says in 6 and 14 of Job, to him who is afflicted, kindness should be shown by his friend, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty. Truly, he says, as those had come to comfort him, that a friend would show kindness to him. That individual that is afflicted, that is an individual that is having to go through the things that Job went through, they should show kindness unto him. Again, not kindness to the point of going along with any sin that he had committed, but still kindness. We expect sympathy. We expect friends or help from those who are our friends. We do not expect rebuke from them when we are innocent, as Job was. Job was told by his friends there that he'd done something that was wrong. He needed to ask forgiveness of God. And Job said, I'm innocent. I've done nothing that is wrong. But they kept rebuking him over and over when he insisted upon his innocence. An individual will not also rebuke a friend when they are hurting as Job was hurting. A friend will support during hard times. We've heard of the expression, an individual being a fair-weather friend. What does that mean? That means they just stuck with that individual through the good times. But when times became difficult and a little bit hard, when that individual was perhaps looked upon as an outcast by the rest of those that they were associating with, then that fair weather friend withdrew his friendship from that person. That's not what a true friend will do. But a true friend is one who will support in good times as well as in bad times. A good friend also is one who will rejoice with his friends and neighbors. One of the things that is pointed out in Luke chapter 15 by Christ in those three parables that are mentioned there is that these individuals wanted to rejoice with their friends. The parable is told of the woman who lost the coin, and she swept her house, she searched it from top to bottom until finally she found that one coin. And what did she do? She called her friends in to rejoice with her. She wanted them to share in that because she knew that they shared in her concern for the loss of this coin. In the man who lost the sheep and went out and found it diligently after a search, he was able to bring that sheep safely home. He called his friends in and they celebrated together. And in the father, as far as the prodigal son is concerned, when the son came home, the father rejoiced and had the servants kill the fatted calves. Of course, the older brother was a little bit jealous at this point, and he showed himself not to be a friend, but rather to be a jealous brother. All of these individuals invited those in who were close to them, who shared with them in the joy that they had, and they rejoiced with them. Sometimes this is hard for individuals to do, is to rejoice with others in their joy. Although this is what God commands of us as Christians to do, to have sorrow when those of the family have sorrow and to rejoice with those who are in the family of God, sometimes it's hard for people to rejoice with others because they're just a little bit jealous of what has happened. There's jealousy in their life concerning that good thing that's happened to someone else. And they want to know, well, why didn't that good thing happen to me? You know, they always, when something bad happens to them, they always wonder why God allowed that bad thing to happen to them and why didn't it happen to somebody else. And it's the same thing with good things that happen. There's a little bit of jealousy that is there. But we are to rejoice, and that's what a friend will do. They'll be glad with things in our life. A friend also will make a great sacrifice. And this is what Christ points out in the New Testament. John chapter 15 and verse 13, he makes this statement concerning himself, concerning friendship and love. Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. And that's what he was going to do, and that was his showing his friendship. The friendship that he had was he was willing to lay down his life for those that were dear and near to him. John also in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16 talks about the sacrifice that is made and the love that is there. When he makes this statement, 1 John 3 and 16, it says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." It's interesting to me is how we've divided up, and John and 1 John's been divided up. John 3:16 talks about the love of God. And 1 John 3:16 demonstrates or shows the love that he had and how we ought to love. But that's a way that a friend will do. We will sacrifice for others. There are ways that the Bible tells us how to make friends. And one of the things that we have mentioned in our outline, if you'll notice, one of the ways to make friends and one of the ways that friendship is destroyed is by the same thing. And that is by money. In Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 6, many entreat the favor of the nobility, And every man is a friend to the one who gives gifts. Here again, a man who, an individual who has money, an individual who gives gifts unto others, he has a lot of friends. He has those that want to get close to him. In the 14th chapter and verse 20 of Proverbs, the statement is made, the poor man is hated even by his own neighbor, but the rich has many friends. And we find this to be true. Solomon found it to be true 1,000 years before the time of Christ, 2,000 years after Christ. We find it to be exactly the same way. That individual who has a lot of money and gives gifts, everybody wants to be his friend. And in a certain way, that is a way to make friends. But unfortunately, we know what has happened. When that money and those gifts are gone, those people that were friends because of that are no longer friends. They're gone. But the proverb says there is one way that we can make friends, but those friends won't last. Another way, as we've already read in the 18th chapter, verse 24, is for an individual to be friendly. For an individual to be friendly. A man who has friends must himself be friendly. This is something that is going to take time on the part of each and every one of us. As we strive to be friends one with another, we need to show interest in one another. Get to know that person. And sometimes an individual is a little bit difficult to get to know. They don't like to open up. We all have different personalities, don't we? We all differ one from another. And one individual is very open. Another individual is hard to get to know. But we need to strive, whatever personality we might have, to be friendly individuals. To show interest in others, to try to get to know other individuals, especially those who share the like precious faith that we have. Be friendly then. That's a way to make friends. Loyalty also is another thing that makes friends. In the 27th chapter of Proverbs and verse 10, as we read just a few moments ago, do not forsake your own friends. Are your father's friends, your father, your grandfather, those who are your relatives, those that you know, they have friends. Be friends with them. There's a loyalty in that. There is a stick-to-itiveness in sharing friends one with another. And that's the way that we can make friends. And a friend will not desert us in times of trouble. A friend will be loyal. In spite of our faults, in spite of the difficulties. Have gracious speech also. That's a way to make friends. Proverbs 22 and verse 11. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. As I mentioned, this girl, there's a lot of people who are like that. They seem to want to complain about everything that comes along. And there's not a graciousness about their speech. Someone who is always gloomy, you know, that person we don't like to be around too much. That person who is, as we might describe them, as being a prophet of doom. Everything is determined to be, you know, it's doom before it gets started. And everything has a black cloud hanging over that. That individual, usually their speech is not gracious. They complain about a lot of things. That individual is hard to get to know. That individual has difficulty in making friends. But when our speech is gracious, when it is filled with those things that are pleasant, then an individual is going to have and he is going to make friends. Finally, we pointed out in the outline that there are things that destroy this association that we have one with another. And just as the Proverbs points out that money is a way to make friends, money is also a way to destroy friendships. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 1, and we ought to include verse 2 in that. My son, if you become surety for your friend, if you have shaken hands in a pledge for a stranger, you are snared by the words of your own mouth. And you are taken by the words of your mouth. And in the 17th chapter, verse 18, Once again, the wise man says, as a man devoid of understanding shakes hand in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Money does not always have to destroy friendship, but all too often it is something that does. Because we might begin to borrow money from our friends. We might look to them for some kind of a loan. And as a result of that, we might take advantage of that friendship. And that money that we become, that surety that we become, is going to destroy that friendship. Money should not destroy, though, true friendships. But oftentimes we find that an individual would be hesitant to pay back a friend because the comment is always, well, that friend will understand. They'll understand I don't have the money. I can't pay them at this time. And that person will be a true friend if they will not do this, if they will not insist that I pay them back. A friend also many times is hesitant to ask a friend for his money that has been borrowed from him. As a result, there is hard feelings that might arise. And as the wise man says, it is best not to become a surety for that individual who is a friend. Because once again, all too often, perhaps you have seen it in your own lifetime, how that friendship and associations has been destroyed because of money. Gossip is another thing. We read just a few moments ago there from the 17th chapter. This was from 17th chapter, verse 9. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates the best of friends. Someone will confide in us something. And if they confide in us a particular thing in their life, and we have promised not to say anything about that, we need to be true to our word. We need not to repeat that to anybody else. If that's what they have said, a loose tongue is something that can destroy a friendship that has lasted for a long period of time. And we need to be careful. We need also to be gracious in our speech. David pointed out disloyalty as a means of the destruction of the friendship that he had with a certain individual. In the 41st chapter of the book of Psalms, in verse 9, he speaks concerning an individual by the name of Ahithophel, who was his friend. Even my own familiar friend, in whom I have trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And this individual was likened to Judas, concerning Christ. David had this friend who betrayed him, who was disloyal to him, and became rather an ally of his enemy, his son Absalom. As a result of that, that friendship was destroyed. Negligence also is something that will destroy a close association. Friendship is like anything else. It takes cultivation. It takes care. It takes time. If you neglect a field, soon it's going to become useless. If you neglect a friendship, also it is something that is going to die. God points out many things in his will and in the wisdom that he has revealed unto man concerning friendships, concerning those individuals that we count as very close associates. He tells us how to be one. He tells us also how to choose those who are friends. He has given unto us a great many blessings, not the least of which is friends that we choose. Let us make sure that we do not abuse this, that we do not neglect this great blessing. Let us do what God has instructed us. Let us choose those friends that have a like precious faith as we are. And let us be the kind of friend that God would be pleased with. In closing, we simply want to make the statement that you have a friend in Jesus Christ, your Lord. You have a friend in that one who came from heaven, who lived a perfect life and died as a sacrifice for your sins. There's no greater friend that you have than you have than Jesus. He is the greatest one who would be that close association that we have in our life. We have many close friends and relatives in this life, but there's none any greater than Jesus, because he died for us. But his death did us some good spiritually. It is the only sacrifice that would have done good, because it washes away our sins in our obedience unto him. If you're here this evening and not a child of God, why not avail yourself of all of these blessings that your friend has bestowed upon you? That of an opportunity to be a child of God, the forgiveness of your sins, all of these things he has provided for you, this great and wonderful friend, Jesus. Avail yourself of this evening. The song has been selected. Won't you answer the invitation? Won't you come to Christ this evening as we stand and as we sing?